This is Fred Wildenberg. A big issue for humanity is the spiritual divides that exist and are growing. Within these divides, some are entrenched in their place. Many seem indifferent to the divisions. Others embrace the plurality of differences. In this podcast, Peace Within Reach, I discuss with various people why they stand where they do, ultimately then highlighting my concerns with spiritual divides. I don't believe we're hopelessly divided. My guest is Beth Broadbooks of Tapestry Ministry. And Beth, just take a few moments to describe Tapestry, please.
Yeah, for sure. So our tagline is a ministry that provides spiritual care in unlikely places. And so we have such a heart for those who are more on the margins or the outskirts of the church or society, so really marginalized communities. So we kind of direct our outreach efforts to people that might be more marginalized.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. As this podcast highlights the issue of major spiritual divides between people, and often including with that big divides in value systems, I think those do go often hand in hand. I'm interested, Beth, that your ministry attended the LGBTQ Pride March here in Sioux Falls. Why did you guys attend the march?
Well, you know, over the summer, I had just been praying just regarding this community, and I just kept praying, Lord, I really want to begin to just like enter in and build relationships with people in this community, because I know that there's so much pain in the LGBTQ community, from the church, from rejection, from families. And I was just like, man, God, how do I break into this community? And the Lord just kept bringing up this, the Pride Festival. So I just sent an email asking if our ministry could have a booth, and they said yes. And I was like, okay, let's do it.
Were you surprised knowing your board and that they would have you go to something like that?
Well, I definitely cleared it with a board. I mean, we know that the LGBTQ issue is a huge divide with churches, and the board has, you know, varying views, but I wanted to make sure that they were all on board before I did that. And so they were. They were all like, go for it. I was a little surprised. I was like, okay, great.
So let me back, you described Tapestry, you know, earlier. So you guys do go to different kinds of settings, don't you? Like, I don't know if you mentioned other places beyond even LGBTQ pride marches. What are some of the other places you go to?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first place we stumbled into a couple years ago was kind of providing chaplaincy services to strip clubs. And so we're in 8 different strip clubs in the region offering just, yeah, chaplaincy services, spiritual care to anyone that works there. And so from there, the Lord just began to show me kind of other marginalized communities that we could begin reaching out to. So that's our biggest one. And now we're kind of stepping into different territory and different places.
Wow. Okay. So that makes it a little more understandable for me that perhaps the board would say, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We like the hot topic issues here.
Excellent. So I'm kind of project myself a little into this, how I perhaps would feel, but I like to ask you, so if this was a first for you in attending this event, how did you approach it? And I'm going to figure perhaps with anxiety.
A little bit of like excited nervousness, but not anxiety, because, you know, throughout my years in ministry, I've just been in some interesting places, in places that you would think that God wouldn't necessarily be found or show up. And I've just seen God do amazing miracles and show up in the most amazing ways. And just more, maybe not broken places, but more places that you might not be like, yes, miracles are going to happen there. So I wasn't super nervous. I just was like, okay, God, what are you going to do at this festival? I'm excited to partner with you in that.
An excitement, a little anxiety, but an excitement.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, this is going to be good. But a little bit like, what's going to happen?
Beth, knowing you, that doesn't surprise me. So I would like to know, I think everyone would like to know, what were the responses from those with whom you interacted? Can you give some examples?
Yeah. So, I have so many stories, but I'll share just a couple. We had our booth set up and we were giving away cookies and LaCroix, the sparkling water that the millennials love, and our huge sign that said Tapestry Ministry, a ministry that provides spiritual care in unlikely places. And we had all these different people come by our booth. We had people who identify as transgender, people who identify as gay. We had a Wiccan come up to us, an atheist, all these people And at the end of it, they would cry. They would tell us their problems. We would pray over them. And it was just, it was beautiful. It was absolutely amazing to see a faith-based organization show up, really just having just a heart for these people of like, how can we be praying for you? What's going on in your life? And to see how like our love evoked like vulnerability from them was really beautiful.
If I recall, I read on some of your Facebook posting that, was there even a, perhaps someone like a white supremacist?
Yes, a former white supremacist.
And what was his response like?
You know, he just cried about all the ways that he felt hurt as a child that kind of led him to white supremacy. He's no longer, he's a former white supremacist, so okay. He's not currently in that lifestyle, but it was just so interesting to hear his stories. And like, I got to pray over him regarding some relational issues that were going on in his life. So it was a wide collection of people, for sure.
Interesting. It sounds like a lot of them received you guys quite warmly.
They did. We had lots of people crying and holding. Lots of holding and crying.
That's wonderful. Hey, so as your ministry would clearly be viewed as spiritual and as Christian, I think probably those who were at the Pride March would get that, because I saw the banner on your Facebook, you know, post, clearly a ministry that provides care in unlikely places. Did any of those who interacted with you at this LGBTQ march, did they debate with you their perceived differences and views as they talked to you? And so what I kind of mean by that, you know, a lot of them, I don't think I'm going to be off on this. I think their views on life, certainly an atheist, it, you know, because some of those were there as well, and they came up to you, people that are atheists. You know, they would have different views and value systems. And so did they speak to you about that almost in maybe a debate style? Did you get some of that?
You know what's so interesting is not from anyone in the LGBTQ community themselves, or even people that were there for it, like, you know, an atheist necessarily isn't identify in the LGBTQ issue. But the only people that debated with us was this one church group that was there that was telling people they were bound for hell. And so they were the only ones who wanted to debate with me. And I don't need to go into the whole conversation, but it was just so ironic that the one person that wanted to debate with us was another Christian group that basically was just like, why aren't you telling people they're going to hell too? And it was very interesting. That was our only sense of, I don't want to say like contention, but you know, okay. It was the only kind of place where I was like, oh, okay.
So the... really, your audience being, you know, people at the march who weren't Christians, I'm going to assume mostly, they weren't really wanting at that time to debate,
no.
To come after you, you know, because, you know, they would perceive that our value systems are different. They looked for love and appreciate someone to care,
yeah.
and even openness to prayer. Isn't
yeah.
that interesting? Wow. Hey, I like to ask you, and I think that's really interesting. I don't think I had heard that before, that there was a Christian group there. And I think also probably with good motives, wanting to love upon people, but with a different kind of message, which I think is unfortunate, but I am also appreciative that there were others there. But I like to ask you, you know, because I know you don't only go to perhaps a LGBTQ march, but also to strip clubs and bars. Is it ever raised to you by, especially by Christians, a concern that you could be a stumbling block to others and that your Christian image could suffer in the eyes of others as you are in those places? Does that ever come to your mind? Do people bring that up? Hey, Beth, I don't know if you should be there. And what is your response if that has come up?
I feel like with myself and everyone else on our volunteer team, we're very aware of the places that we stumble personally, like ourselves. So we have a high vetting process. So if we're going to go into a bar and you're a former alcoholic, this might not be the best place for you. If you're going to come to the strip club and you have a former sexual addiction, it's probably not a good place for you because that will be a stumbling block, if that makes sense. But if we're all, like for me personally, not necessarily struggling with, you know, various issues of people that I'm reaching out to, I feel great about it. If people do say that, I love to sit down and have a conversation with them and be like, my motives are pure. The motives on our teams are pure. And I don't you know, here, I want to have a conversation with you to kind of set the record straight of like why we're going in there and what we're doing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So while it could be, I think that a lot of people kind of have like a very, like a fear of man almost, like what will people think if I do this? As opposed to just being faithful to like what God is calling you to do. And then also to be like vulnerable with people around you to talk about, like, these are the reasons why I'm going in X, Y, and Z.
Excellent. You know, I think image is important. We don't want, you know, the Bible, and you, both you and I, you know, I know we adhere to the Bible as we believe it's God's word. And, but there are places where, you know, I think it was Paul chastising Peter for being overly worried about image and, you know, stopping fellowshipping with certain people or going along with old ways. But other times, you know, he does, you know, encourage us not to be stumbling blocks. And so finding that balance, huh?
Yeah. And even with our club outreach, like, I think there's a misconception that we're going into a strip club and we're lingering for hours. And that is very much not the case. Mm. We're very much in there for about, you know, 20 to 40 minutes, having good conversations with people, really like praying over people. And kind of when our time has come to an end, we leave. So I think that there's a misconception too about like, oh, well, you know, you're sitting amongst like people, you know, doing really sad acts and you're almost participating in it when it's like, no, we're in and we're out.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I was going, I guess in toward the close here, I'd like to, you had put on your Facebook page, and how can we, you know, who are of the body of Christ, be better at listening without becoming offended and defensive? I know you raised that question. I'm sure you got some comments. And what have you come up with on that, you know, what we can do, I guess, at not being so defensive and offended perhaps? And what message do you want to give to the Christians who are listening today?
Yeah, I'm very passionate about, you know, I think the church, and I include myself in this, has done it backward for a long time. We kind of shake our finger without the context of relationship. Mm. And so relationship is powerful. And when we're in relationship with people, that gives us a place for both of us to express our viewpoints, to disagree, but it's in the safe context of relationship. That's like, I love you, I'm not going anywhere, but here's what I think about this, if that makes sense. And so when I sit across someone who is completely different set of viewpoints, moral compass than I do, my first thing is like, okay, how do I love this person? Like, how do I hear them out? You know, and how do I be true to what I believe too? But there's a way that we can do that that is kind, that is respectful, that is loving, that I think that a lot of us have missed in a state and in a world, in a nation that is so divided. I'm always just want to get, even like political parties, let's just sit down, let's sing a song, let's sing Kumbaya, like, let's talk about it. It's okay. Gonna be okay.
Okay, excellent. You know, for myself, a lot of times it's just a matter of whoever's sitting across the table from me, you know, whoever they might be, whatever they're doing, they are made in the very image of God, in the likeness of God, and clearly cared about, loved by God, and fully deserving of my respect and my time. They are a valuable individual. And that seems to help me sometimes, you know, in getting to, wow, yes, I can love that person, you know, and really no matter what, I respect him at that time. And okay, I'd like to ask you the kind of the same thing. Well, what would you communicate to those who are not Christians, you know, in light of your attendance at the LGBTQ march? What would you want to share with those who are listening today who aren't believers like you?
Yeah, and I know we've talked about this, Fred, but in my experience, like, most people, not all, that might not know Christ, like, have had an experience with the church that wasn't favorable. It wasn't awesome. It wasn't great. They were wounded. They were hurt. And I think what I would tell people is, like, you know, the church is run by humans, so it's always going to be a little bit of a mess. It's always going to be that. But that is not who God is. So I always try to point people to, like, the kindness and the perfection of God, and that God was not their experience that they had. inside of a church place where they felt pain. So not to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I'm pointing to Beth to give me a book. Keep talking. I'm going to find a quote that I want to just bring to that.
And so, you know, and also in that same sense is like, don't give up on the church either, because that is a beautiful place where we can come together and we can learn and we can fight for one another, that we can iron sharpens iron, and we can grow with one another. So that's kind of what I would tell those who aren't Christians, or maybe once were Christians and now aren't.
Wonderful. I can't find that quote. I got the wrong book here.
Do you remember, can you paraphrase it?
Something like, so Rick Warren, a prominent pastor in California, wrote in his book, I believe it was The Purpose-Driven Life, that no church should put out a sign, basically every church should put out a sign in the front of their church. This is a place only for those who are broken, seeking hope, and want to grow. And basically saying all of us have our things, we have our issues, we're walking in this life together, and so let's do it together, all in need of his belief, my belief as well, that in need of God's grace, in need of other people's grace and his transforming power. So that's like majorly tripling the quote that was so eloquent written, but there you go.
Yeah, great.
Okay, I'll bring it up sometime again. You know, Beth, in closing, I like to say, count me in next year if you guys go to the LGBTQ Pride March. I like what you've done. I do have friends as well who are, certainly a different worldview than I have. Some who are non-believers. I hope to have them on this podcast as well sometime. And so, yes, count me in. And I hope others would come as well. Some of my friends to this LGBTQ March with you guys. Can we join your banner, your tent?
Yes. We'll have a big party.
Wonderful. When is it? When is it normally in Sioux Falls?
It was over this summer, so I think it was in June.
Around June. Yeah. Okay. We'll make sure we try to do that. So count me in on that. And, hey, I want to take just a moment to have a closing prayer as we start to close this podcast discussion. Father, thank you for who you are, Almighty God, Creator, Maintainer of this whole world, and yet at the same time personal and loving and gracious and available to each and every person. I thank you that Beth Broad Books and Tapestry Ministry, those involved with that, know that personally, but don't keep it to themselves, but take that message to, as Beth described, unlikely places. And may those who they speak with, wherever they find themselves, perhaps in LGBTQ marches, bars, strip clubs, wherever they go, may that message come across that, God, you love people and you receive them as they are and you are to give them new lives. So bless Tapestry and each person they meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is Fred Wilgenberg with Peace Within Reach, and I'm thankful to Beth Broadbooks of Tapestry Ministry for joining me today. And I would ask you to just, when you have time, look at www.peacewithinreach.com, where this and other podcasts are, and also articles, all with the subject of dealing with the big issue of humanity being there being a lot of spiritual divides that exist and are growing. And that some are entrenched in that place, and others kind of maybe seem indifferent to the divisions, while others maybe embrace the plurality of the differences. But we'll be speaking about that, ultimately with the thought that I don't believe we're hopelessly divided. Thanks for joining us today.